Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for it is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Well, good morning. We continue with our study of the Beatitudes this morning, and we are arrived at the Beatitude, which says, Blessed are the meek, or blessed are the gentle, or blessed are the humble. And the blessing that accrues to those who are humble or gentle or meek is that they will be the ones who inherit the earth. And as with the previous of the Beatitudes that we have examined, this is kind of a paradox. It's not quite the way the world sees things. And it would have, I think, sounded strange, though good news, to those to whom Jesus spoke. And it should sound a little strange to us, though good news, as we hear what he has to say. In some ways, this idea of blessed are those who are meek follows directly from the previous two. We have observed that when he says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, that he's not talking about just those who are poor in material things. He's talking about those who understand their poverty of spirit as they stand before God, those who understand their sins, those who understand their inability to do anything about those sins, even really to control those sins on their own. Blessed are those who take that first step, I think is the implication, toward the kingdom of heaven, for they shall be helped by God in their weakness. And blessed are those who mourn. It's not just necessary to recognize that we are sinners. It's important that we take the next step and mourn over those sins. Blessed are those who mourn, not so much those who mourn over the loss of a loved one or mourn over the financial reversal that they've experienced, but blessed are those who mourn over their sins, for they are the ones who will be comforted. And the third, then, that we're concerned with this morning follows directly out of that. Blessed are those who are meek. Those who properly estimate their sins and are grieved by them are not likely to be the kind of people who are going to be forward. They're not the kind of people who are going to be assertive. They're not the kind of people who are going to be brash. That's inconsistent with the idea of recognizing our poverty of spirit, mourning over our sins. In some ways, this is more difficult than the previous one. Each step seems to be a little more difficult. First step sometimes is the most difficult of all, to recognize our poverty of spirit, our sins. Second step is to mourn over those. There are plenty of people who understand that they're sinners, but they have no real mourning about that. They have no real sense of shame about that. It's important that once we recognize our sins and that we mourn over them, however, that that has an impact in our life. It's not just some isolated intellectual idea. It will change who we are. And when it changes who we are, it will certainly change who we are in this direction. The people who understand the poverty of spirit, who understand their sins and who mourn over those, are people who are not going to put themselves over others because they recognize their shortcomings. They recognize their weaknesses. They mourn over those things. Other people may put themselves forward, but not those who have mourned over their sins. And in some ways, it's kind of strange. Jesus says, blessed are those who are meek, who are humble, who are gentle. They will inherit the earth. And you can imagine, once again, as we have each week, they're the poor people of the nation gathered before him. These are the riffraff from the point of view of the Pharisees who stand apart from them lest they be contaminated, from the Sadducees who are too rich to soil their rich garments by mingling with these people. And Jesus says to them, blessed are the meek, for you will inherit the earth. And they are going to be glad at hearing that, puzzled but glad. And the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the rich, the powerful, the elites of society are going to sniff about that kind of an idea. And it's not just in that day and age. It's today. It's not just among the Greeks, Jews in those days. It is among the Greeks. The world's view of strength is entirely different than that which Jesus portrays in his own life and in the Beatitudes and in the Sermon on the Mount. There is this sense among people that you get good things out of life by being assertive, by demanding those. That's the nature of the West. It is the squeaky wheel which gets greased, we say. And it's really true in some ways in the world in which we live. If you just quietly and passively go about doing your job in business, you will see a lot of people who do a less effective job than you, but who are brash and bold about it, getting rewarded. That's the way the world is. That's not going to work in the kingdom of heaven, however. Those who are brash and who are assertive and are kind of like putting a big facade on but not doing the real work, they're not going to put anything over on Jesus. It is those who are effective, those who are quietly doing what they are supposed to do, who understand that no matter what they have done, it's not good enough, that are going to be rewarded in the kingdom of heaven. But let's don't make the mistake of presuming that being meek or being gentle or humble is a matter of weakness. It's not about being weak. There are plenty of people that are just weak, but that's not what Jesus is praising here, not what Jesus says is going to be blessed. This word, the Greek word that's translated meek or gentle or humble in various places in the New Testament, is a word that the Greek philosophers spent a lot of time talking about. Aristotle had talked about meekness as being the proper mean between, that's the way the Greek philosophers always talk, you know, about the golden mean, the mean between too much anger and too much apathy, that meekness is the right amount of spirit in a man. It's not weakness from his point of view, and I don't think it's weakness from the point of view of Jesus as well. Some of the contemporary Greeks used the word meek to describe a spirited horse that was disciplined, a horse that was not broken in spirit, but who was broken to the bridle and could be ridden and was useful. It's not a word they would have used for some broken down old nag that nobody wanted. And it certainly wasn't the word that they would use for some unruly, uncontrollable horse either. It was the one who was spirited but was broken to ride. That's the kind of idea I think that Jesus intends when he says, blessed are the meek. That's the kind of characteristic that ought to be cultivated in those who are members of the church, those who are part of the kingdom of heaven. And it is, once again, now what we're talking about, a characteristic that is cultivated by the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Read again in Galatians chapter 6. Lust of the flesh, fruits of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness. So we're not talking about here that there are some people who are born with this kind of meek, mild sort of attitude, and those are the ones that Jesus invites into the kingdom, or those are the ones that are going to inherit the earth. It is a cultivated fruit of the Spirit. You think about a man like Moses, for instance. And you know that in Numbers 12, verse 3, we read that he was the meekest of all men, the most humble of all men. But that's not the way Moses started out. Well, maybe it was the way he started out when he was a baby. I don't know about that. But by the time he was a grown man, having been raised in the household of Pharaoh as the son of the daughter of Pharaoh, he was anything but meek, gentle, or mild. Don't you remember? He thought, as Stephen tells it in Acts chapter 7, that speech that he made that got him killed, he thought, Moses thought, that he was the one who would deliver the children of Israel. And he, in fact, with the strength of his own hand and the quickness of his temper, killed an Egyptian taskmaster and then buried him in the sand. And then when it was found out, he had to flee as a fugitive from Egypt. That's the kind of person that Moses was. And that kind of makes sense, you know. He's raised in the house of the Pharaoh. He's raised as one of the elites. He has the sense that he deserves things, that he's a great person, that he can do great things. He is the ideal, in some ways, of the Greek culture of the day in which Stephen spoke. He's the ideal of the culture today. Here's a man with training. Here's a man with knowledge and education. Here's a man with assertiveness. Here's a man with power. Here's a man who can get things done. But God has no use for that kind of a man. He sends him into Midian for 40 years where he learns to be meek and that God then can use him. And he becomes, as a fruit of the Spirit, the most humble of all men. This matter of meekness that Jesus praises here is not so much an outward matter of the way in which one bows and scrapes, perhaps, in the presence of others or steps aside. It's something inward. It's a characteristic of the heart, of the spirit, that does express itself outwardly. But you need to understand what the characteristic, the inward characteristic is, if you want to understand what the outward expression of that characteristic is going to be. We're not talking about something that's just a matter of laziness. There are some people that are lazy. You know, they don't go out and try and accomplish anything in the world. They step aside for everybody else. That's pretty easy to do. Let other people do the work, and we'll just kind of coast along. That's not the kind of characteristic that Jesus is praising here. There are some people that are just morally flabby. They have no sense of indignation about the sins of the world. They have no sense of the dismay, of the need to do something about preaching the gospel. That's not the meekness that he's talking about here. Meekness doesn't really have anything to do with whether you live at peace with other people or not. It's the attitude or the characteristic out of which you live at peace with other people. There are some folks, they don't ever get in trouble with anybody because there's nothing to them. You know, they're just kind of like a non-entity. They don't ever have any ideas of their own. They don't ever have any objections to what other people do. It's not what Jesus is talking about at all. He's talking about the kind of person who does have ideas and who does have objections to what other people do, but is willing to step aside because he understands his limitations and he understands his sins and he understands that other people are just as good as he is. It's not the kind of person who will do anything to have peace. It's the kind of person who will bend over backwards to do the right thing to have peace. It's an attitude toward God and toward man, this meekness that Jesus talks about. Meekness toward God, of course, is submissiveness. It's recognizing that we are not in control of our own life, that God is in control, and that we have to give him the control of our own lives. Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul talking really about conversion that he had to go through and the kind of conversion that we all have to go through, talks about this in Romans 6 and verse 19. I speak in human terms, he says, because of the weakness of your flesh. And here are the human terms that he uses. Just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness to holiness. I'm talking, he says, in human terms, because of the limitations of the language, because of the limitations of human nature to understand things. You were slaves to sin. You were enslaved to your passions. Now you have to be enslaved to righteousness so that you can be holy. Now, lots of people are going to object to being a slave, particularly in America today. We don't want to be slaves. We don't want to be in somebody else's power. We don't want to submit ourselves to that extent. And remember, he's talking about in human terms now. This is the best way I can explain it to you, given the limitations of your understanding at this point. You need to be a slave to righteousness. You need to give yourselves over wholly. You need to give up all of your ideas and your ambitions about life and let righteousness dominate your life in order to produce holiness. You've got to be in submission to God. And that means, practical thing I think for many of us, is that we accept God's will for our lives. The person who is not meek, the person who's assertive says, I deserve better. I should be recognized more. I should have more of this life's goods. I deserve it. The meek person says, I am thankful to God for what he has done for me. I am thankful for what I have. And I understand full well that it is all by God's graciousness he's given it to me. Two people who illustrate that in very opposite circumstances, I think. First of all, Job. And you know what his circumstances were. If anybody had a right to complain about his circumstances, it was Job. And he complained, but he complained about one particular thing. He said, I want to talk to God. But in Job 1 and verse 21, he expresses to his friends and to his wife the kind of attitude that is meekness, I think. Job 1 and verse 21, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here's a man who meekly, gently, humbly, without railing, without any kind of kicking back, accepts what God has done to him in his life. The other side of that, almost the opposite, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. In Luke chapter 1, the angel has come to her and told her she's been overshadowed by the Holy Spirit of God and that she is with child and that that child is going to be the salvation of Israel. And Mary says, behold, the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. On the one hand, Job accepts that which seems to be evil and ill from the hand of the Lord. And on the other hand, Mary accepts that which seems to be overwhelming commendation, an overwhelming stamp of approval. And both of them accept that with the same level, the same spirit of meekness, gentleness, and humility. Job does not rail against God. Mary does not puff herself up and say, I am better than all the other women in the land because God has chosen me. That kind of meekness, that kind of spirit is precious in the sight of God. 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, Peter writing to the Christians who were suffering more like Job did than they were like Mary, except on the other hand, they also had Jesus as their Savior. He says to them, 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, let it be the hidden person of heart, the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. Meekness is about our attitude toward God, accepting whatever God has given to us in this life. Meekness is also our attitude about other people. It is a spirit of tolerance, of gentleness, of forbearance to other people. That's exactly the kind of characteristics that are to be cultivated in all Christians. Titus chapter 3 and verses 1 through 2, talking about the organization of the church, and the Apostle Paul writing to Titus, Titus 3 and verse 1 says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable and gentle, and show all humility to all men. Which is a pretty big task, all humility to all men. There's not one of us who doesn't have naturally this sense, at some moments, I'm better than that person. That person doesn't have the right to be in front of me. That person doesn't have the right to more praise than I get. That person doesn't have the right to the blessings that God's given him in this life more than I. But we need to be humble and show that humility to all men. Now, that does not mean, once again, that we're talking about somebody who is morally flabby, who couldn't do any better if they wanted to. Now, in some ways, I think this idea of meekness is like, maybe this is one of the limitations of the flesh, and that we have to speak this way to try and encourage ourselves, because there are probably things that are wrong about it. But I think it's kind of like the martial arts expert who allows other people to offend him when he very easily could take his vengeance on them, very easily could demonstrate that he was better than they were, but he steps aside and lets them go. Not out of weakness, but in fact out of strength. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Blessed are the meek." And that's what we are talking about in the scripture, wherever it says we're humble and gentle toward all men. We deal gently with other people, not because we're afraid and not because we couldn't do differently and not because we're weak, but because they are equally with us the creatures of God and equally with us the beneficiaries and the objects of God's plan of salvation. The gentle, the meek, the humble is no respecter of persons. You know, there are those people, you know, they get by in the world by taking advantage of those who were weak and kind of complimenting and ingratiating themselves with those who are strong. That's not the characteristic of those who are members of the kingdom of heaven. They are as kind to the lowly and the downtrodden as they are to the rich and the powerful. It's pretty hard to do. I read this just the other day. Maybe not a good illustration. I don't know. It brings in too many other things. Of a politician who was very successful. And they were asking in a retrospective one of his advisors about his success. And he said, when we went to a room, that crowded room of supporters, he would go to what he saw as the least important person in the room. He would brush past quickly those who were at the front of the line, and he would go to the least important person in the room, and he would talk to that person as if he were the most important person in the room. And then he would work his way back through the room. And he said that was the key to his success. Well, in kind of an earthly way, that represents what exactly Jesus is saying. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The person who is meek is no respecter of persons. The person who is meek is really a person who understands and has a motivation for the golden rule, in which they treat others as they would themselves be treated. That's a wonderful rule. Well, except we have to say it's a rule, the golden rule. And when we have rules, that kind of creates some sort of resentment on our part. Rules are hard to keep. Rules about keeping your room clean are hard to keep. Rules about taxes are hard to keep. Rules just gonna urge us to this kind of resentment. And so we say the golden rule. You know, we do have some kind of kickback about that, some kind of emotional reaction against treating other people, even when they've not been nice to us, treating them the way we'd want to be treated. But the meek person has no problem with that, because the meek person doesn't have any resentment about that rule. The meek person really understands it that way, because they have recognized their sins and they mourned over their sins. It's easier for them to be meek and to put other people first in their life, to treat other people as they would want to be treated. The meek man, as Jesus talked about it, will be angered by wrongdoing, particularly wrongdoing that affects negatively other people. But he will not let that lead him into sin. You remember what that strange little book of Jude has to say about Michael the archangel? Michael the archangel. That's got to be pretty high up in the service of the Lord. Michael the archangel. And in the book of Jude, in the 9th verse, we read that Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a railing accusation. Instead, he said, "The Lord rebuke you." That's what the meek person does. The meek person stands up for what's right, but the meek person doesn't stand up for what's right with railing accusations. The meek person, even when they're standing up for what's right, even when they're indignant about the wrongs that exist in the world or the wrongs that are done toward other people, are going to treat others with the kind of consideration that they would want to be treated in that same circumstance. Somebody once said about that passage, that really is definition of gentleman. That's the way gentlemen behave. Gentle men. Meek men. Of course, the world doesn't know anything about gentlemanliness anymore, does it? Or ladylike anymore. We've gotten far away from that. But the Beatitudes bring us back to that kind of gentle sort of spirit. The attitude of the meek man, however, is very different when it comes to his own person and insults against his own person. This is the person that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 5 and verse 39 when he says, "Don't resist an evil person, but whoever strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Jesus was saying you need to be meek and gentle and forbear with other people when they insult you. Jesus was an example of this. But Jesus was also indignant when he went into the temple and they turned it into a money changers union. He turned the tables over and he ran them out on that occasion. But he was able to bear the insults against himself personally. That's the way the gentleman is. The gentleman is able to put up with the weakness and the failures of others. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, the Apostle Paul appeals to this kind of quality when he talks about the failures of others in the church and how we ought to react to other people that are failing and what they ought to be doing. I mean, that's always one of the real kind of test cases. You know, we're trying to do the best we can, and there are other people who seem to us not to be doing the best they can. They don't seem to be doing as well as we are. What should our attitude about them be? Galatians 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a man in a spirit of meekness," or gentleness, depending upon what translation you're reading out of. We don't ever take any kind of satisfaction in the fact that somebody else has been caught in a trespass. "Yeah, I knew all along they were just a hypocrite. I knew all along they were just pretending." That's not a spirit of gentleness or meekness at all. No, it could have been me overtaken in a trespass. A meek person is a person who is approachable. You know, you go into a room and you look around and there's some people, you know, there's no way you could go talk to that person. They're just not going to be inviting to casual conversation or to strangers coming up and talking to them. There are other people, they're very approachable. You know that they're going to be okay if you come and talk to them. Doesn't matter whether it's a congregation or whether it is a business or whether it's just a crowd of people in the foyer at a play or an entertainment event. You know that's the way it is. The gentle person is the person who's approachable. That's the kind of person that we ought to be. Jesus was meek and lowly, and the most approachable person in the room whatever room he was in. That's why he could say in Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and humble in heart." And people knew that about him. And they ought to know that about us. The gentle man is not sensitive about himself. The gentle man, thinking about other people, is not easily insulted. He's not always thinking about how other people have maligned him or shorted him or left him out. There are people that are like that, you know. They're not nice people to be around, really. They're pretty unpleasant people to be around because, you know, it's too easy to insult them because they're too sensitive. And if you're around them very long, you know, whether you think you're their friend or just an acquaintance, you're going to hurt their feelings. But the meek person is not sensitive like that. Jesus forgave the insults of others against him. Even on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's the meek person Jesus is talking about. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, even if we have a better understanding what meekness is, how does it mean they're going to inherit the earth? Well, of course, they're going to inherit the new heavens and the new earth that are described in Revelation 21 and verse 1, the new heaven and new earth that occur when the old are passed away. That's good enough, probably. But I think there's more to it as well. Those who are meek in some ways on the earth, even as it is now, and as we live in it in the here and now. And the world, of course, would vehemently disagree with that. Nothing carries a man through the world like a true, genuine, natural impudence, says Hume, the philosopher. And, you know, the kids in school today, they're all given self-assertiveness training. They're all given training in self-esteem. And no wonder when they get through, they're all really kind of sensitive, prickly sort of people. The people who are gentle, who are meek, who are humble, really have everything already, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He's talking to the Corinthians who really aren't all that meek because they got a lot of problems, a lot of troubles between them. But in 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 21, Paul says to them, "Let no one glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things come, all are yours, for you are Christ and Christ is God's." All things are yours if you're part of the kingdom. All things are yours if you have cultivated in you the characteristics Jesus talks about in the Beatitudes. And why is that the case? The meek person can have friendship and love and peace in their life. The assertive person, the ambitious person doesn't. You know that's the case. Meek people have, those are the people you want for your friends. Those are the people you can be open with. The ambitious person you better be careful about because they will throw you under the bus. You don't trust them, and most of us don't. Why would we want to be that kind of person that others don't trust? The aggressive, assertive person has to always guard their back too. Why? Because other people know they'd throw them under the bus, so they're willing to throw that person under the bus. They would knife you in the back. Okay to knife them in the back. I mean, you talk about the kind of world in which we live and in which we don't want to live. Assertive, ambitious people with high self-esteem, all in the room together, all of them thinking that they're getting shortchanged and they deserve better than one another. Those people don't own the earth. The people who own the earth, the people who get her along, are the people that are meek. These are the people that have friends. These are the people that have peace of mind and an easy conscience. The aggressor, the ambitious person, is never going to win friends. They may influence people under threat or bribery, But as soon as the threat or the bribe goes away, so do their so-called friends. Meek people have actually real friends that they can count on. They have earned the allegiance of others by the allegiance that they've given to them themselves. How is it that the meek inherit the earth even while we live in the earth here today? Meek people can be satisfied. Ambitious people are never satisfied. That's just the definition. They always want more. You ask people in America if they have enough money, and they say, we don't have enough money. We just need 10% more. We'd be happy if we had 10% more. But once they get that 10%, then they're in another category. If we just had 10% more than that, we'd be happy. They're not happy with those kind of things. But the meek person, the gentle person, the humble person is the person who can be satisfied because they don't feel like they're the kind of person who deserves more than they're getting. They're happy with the things they have in life because they have Christ. And Christ belongs to the Lord and they belong to the Lord. My dad used to say, right or wrong about which people he talked about, but there are some people that seem to fit this. If you could buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth, you could make a pretty good profit. That's the way a lot of people are, but not the meek person. The meek person understands that what they are worth is far less than what Christ has given them. The meek are the kind of people that are always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. The meek person is the kind of person who has no need to regret what they did or what they didn't do. The ambitious, the assertive, the aggressive people, they have always got regrets. Either they're regretting they didn't get in there and grab what was theirs when they had the opportunity, or they're regretting that they trampled on some other poor person to get what they wanted and now they've lost a friend. But the meek person doesn't have that kind of problem. Meek person is a person with genuine self-mastery. They're not controlled by outside ideas. They're not controlled by insatiable ambitions. They're not controlled by some artificial measure of whether they're better or worse off than someone else. The gentle, meek person is controlled by their inward expression of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's really the only thing that's valuable. Better is he who controls his own spirit, the proverb says, than those who rule a city. Self-mastery is what is most important in this world. And that's exactly what meekness means. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus says. These kind of proverbs turn the world's reasoning upside down. And yet, somehow, that's the way it ought to be. Because it was Jesus who demonstrated these qualities, Jesus who proclaimed them in these Beatitudes, and Jesus who wants to create them in us. And that's really the only way you can have them. You can't have them just because you want to. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You have to have the Spirit. You have to turn and be converted. Become as a little child, Jesus said, another one of these kind of upside down sort of paradoxes. You have to be buried in baptism so you can be raised in a new life. Another one of those ideas the world looks at as weakness. But for those who are children of God, they know that it is strength, the strength that comes from Jesus Christ and from Him alone. If you're not a Christian, you're not cultivating these characteristics in your life. That's the key issue of life for you at this moment. If you want to become a Christian, you need to render obedience to Jesus this morning. We encourage you and give you an opportunity to do so as we sing this song.